This recording, Australia 43, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in the North Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. Ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied the animal could be suffering from a rare foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally it would be expected to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itching goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsavoury mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Coma, coma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice of name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. Sarah had a different idea. First, Sarah tried gently stroking the goose's back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, as Sarah was able to hold onto Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath both the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her side. Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Perth. So I grew up in a suburb called Thornleigh, which was it's on south of the river. It was all farmland. Mum and Dad bought the block in 68. I'm born in 70. I can still remember that there was cows walking through the backyard as far back as I can remember. It was all bush. Lived there till I was 18. Mount Magnet for 2 weeks, working for a trucking company till I saw the light, went back to Perth. And then I ended up in Carnarvon. Had to get out of Perth and went to Carnarvon. That would have been, that's about 90 or 91, one or the other. On and off for the last 30 years. So, yeah, that was sort of home. And then you'd move out, go and work on stations follow your dreams in the bush and then go back to town when you run out of money. Year 11, did a pre-apprenticeship butchering for 12 months, got a butchering apprenticeship, snatched that at halfway through second year and went into the wholesale meat industry, boning kangaroos for pet food, worked at Rob's Jetty, and then that was that was when I flew the coop. Get out of Perth and never went back. On Mum's side, it's documented that they came out on the second boat to Perth. So that's 1829. They settled as free settlers in Perth. On the old man's side, we've just found out that apparently grandparents, came from Adelaide. And then his father was born in Narrogin, but this old Aboriginal woman looked after him. So we don't know whether that was his nanny or his mother. There's a lot more pointing towards it could have been his mother. But we don't know. There's nothing written down, and they didn't write shit down in those days. The ironic bit is that the grandparents never lived together. And you find that more and more these days. Carnarvon has its own language. And I can't, now that I'm on the spot, I can't think of, we have certain sayings, and people say to us, "You got that Carnarvon slang." It's a different, I don't know what it is. It's just a there's different slangs, and they reckon we've got a different tone, I suppose. There's heaps. And I use a lot of colloquialisms. I'm just trying to think. Can't think of one at the moment. I mean, looking at your little dog, and we were talking about the tennis ball, you know. Oh, that's as awkward as a rude dog fucking a tennis ball. Yeah, that sort of stuff. I don't know. And that's the language we use. We swear a lot. And I believe, after reading up all sorts of stuff, they reckon the more a person swears, the more honest they are.